Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our Lord's Day service. We're glad you are here, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. Please join us in our fellowship hall after worship for refreshments. We'd love to get to know you better. I want to thank Hal Halverson for his ministry and music today, and thank you to Marcia Ellis and to Katrina Wellborn, who will be providing their lovely voices to our service. For our other announcements, if you would like to pre-order a daily text, please do so after the service today. There's a sign-up form in the narthex as you leave. And if you are still willing to contribute to the debt relief project, you'll notice a way to do that in your bulletin, so please check that out, the Debt Jubilee Project. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Our watchword for the week is found in Psalm 119. God, turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your custom toward those who love your name. Please stand as you are able to sing hymn number 625 and remain standing for the liturgy found in an insert in your bulletin.
Oh,
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy,
who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who have reverence for him.
For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust.
Thank you.
The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all.
Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word.
Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will.
Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Please stand. Our first scripture lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be confirmed to the image of his Son, in order that the firstborn be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our second lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I hit my Waterloo in higher education when I entered seminary. Now, it wasn't because I did not know the Bible. I knew it very well, probably better than most. But what I didn't understand was philosophy. And there was a lot of philosophy in my classes. And I remember one particular discussion, I was completely lost. And I'm listening, trying to figure out what they were talking about, looking around to my fellow students who were all responding and joining in on the conversation as I sat thinking, I hope this isn't on the test, because I have no idea what they're talking about. So I timidly raised my hand. I thought, I don't want to appear like I don't know what I'm talking about. So I said, you know, this is all wonderful. But when I get out to my first church, I'm going to have to teach these concepts to children. So how would you describe this to a third grader? I figured if he could explain it that way, I'd understand. And so he launched into an explanation for a third grader. I'm like, oh, thank God. And I get out of the meeting, and all the other students came to me and said, thank you, Dawn, we didn't understand either. So I related to the disciples when Jesus starts talking about the kingdom, and he said, now, do you get all this? Do you understand? And, oh, yes, of course they did not. Because the rest of the New Testament, you know they didn't. Because when it comes to power and kingdom and reign, they understood what that was. That was wicked King Herod who built the temple that they went into at least once a year. Power and reign, a kingdom, was the Roman soldiers that they saw almost every day of their lives, people that engaged in casual cruelty. They knew what kingdom was, and they even asked Jesus, when are you coming into your kingdom? It was not a mustard seed or leaven. It was military might. So no, they didn't understand. I wonder, they said, I wish, you know, pen and paper was invented already. Get the papyrus out. We've got to write this stuff down. Maybe at some point we'll understand what he means. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It is so infinitesimal. You sow it into the ground and then a huge bush arises. The kingdom of heaven is like a lady who has enough flour to feed 100 people, and she puts a teeny bit of leaven in, and then she waits for that to rise. The kingdom of heaven is somebody who buys a field and hides a treasure in it. The kingdom of heaven is a pearl of great price, and the guy who buys it risks everything on that one little gem. That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a great net, and all the fish are caught up in that net. In other words, all of God's goodness, all of God's reign is there. Even bad fish are in there, and God sorts them out at the end of time. The kingdom of heaven is so different from earthly kingdoms, and it's important for us to understand that. So I have another example of the kingdom of heaven. When Angela and I went to Synod, we decided to divide and conquer. We hardly saw each other because there was a huge group of people there, and we wanted to get to know as many people as possible. So every time we had dinner or lunch, we'd find another group to be a part of. And I noticed somebody sitting alone. I had never seen him before, and he had a hat on. And the hat was emblazoned with the words Vietnam veteran. Thought, I want to get to meet him. So I sat with him. First, what do you do when you see a veteran? You thank them for your service. Although those of us who were alive during Vietnam War knew that you never did that during the Vietnam War. So we're making up for that. So I thanked him for his service. I remarked that my brother had served in Vietnam, and we came into a conversation. Now, most of it had nothing to do with the war, had everything to do with how he met his wife and his children and his faith. It was a lovely conversation. And he said something that stuck with me. He said, "Do you know why I wear this hat?" He said, "It's not so people can thank me for my service." He said, "I wear it all the time so that if there's another Vietnam veteran, they know that it's a safe place, that they can come to me and talk to me, and I understand." The kingdom of heaven is like a veteran wearing a cap so that somebody else can find safety. The kingdom of heaven are the parents who feed their children every day and send them off to school. The kingdom of heaven are like those same parents who sit with a child who's having struggles in math and patiently teaches them day after day. The kingdom of heaven are the people who visit those who are shut into their homes and they don't know where their loved ones are. The kingdom of heaven are the people who volunteer in hospitals. The kingdom of heaven are all those who do the small things and wonder if they have anything to show for it. They don't know if they do, but they have the promise that one day that's going to mushroom into something marvelous. You see, the kingdom of heaven is not obvious, but it's filled with goodness. It's filled with light. It's filled with joy. It's filled with peace. And each of us has a task in that kingdom of heaven. What small thing will be done this week that will mushroom into something that we might not even realize, that we might not even see in this lifetime, but know that we are sowing into the kingdom of heaven? Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that the kingdom of heaven is not showy. The kingdom of heaven is not famous. The kingdom of heaven is what we sow each and every day. Give us the power. Give us the forethought. Shower us with your love so that we can be your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings. to that portion of worship where we bring our prayer concerns. We want to remember Kathy and Kay, Jane, Carrie, Mazwi. We ask for comfort for John Turner's family and our former pastor, Mary Bilkey, lost her father last week, so we ask for prayer for Mary and her family. And also, a part-time visitor in Door County has asked for prayer. Her name is Joanne, and she's currently in rehab in Green Bay, and we will pray for her as well. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for your love and your mercy. We're so grateful that you are for us, and we're so grateful that nothing can separate us from your love. We ask that you would continue to bring comfort to John Turner's family, that you would give to Mary your grace and your strength as she mourns the death of her father. We ask that you would surround Kathy, Kay, Jane, Carrie, Mazwi, and Joanne with your healing mercy. And we bring ourselves to you today. We ask that if there's anyone discouraged, anyone who feels that life has been in vain, that your spirit would sustain that one with a word. We ask for your life-giving spirit today, in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the God who gives us life, and the Savior who walks by our side each day, and the Spirit who fills us with life abundant, grace the coming week with peace and hope and joy. Amen.